you would turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. We want to dwell on just a few things for just a few moments today that are so important to our faith and your faith today. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. My pastor, when I was growing up, when I had cancer of the blood, leukemia, and I was dying with leukemia, this was in the early 50s, and I didn't have the means. We didn't have insurance. We were very, very, very poor people. Rich in our love for one another and our family, but very poor in material things. And but I grew up seeing God move and seeing God answer prayers. I grew up seeing prayers answered. I grew up believing as a young child that God could do anything. I was like the little kid at school. It said that he had been to Sunday school and they were studying the greatness and goodness of God. And in that part of the greatness of God, he said, God is stronger, amen, than Superman and Batman together. Praise God. Amen. Well, he is stronger than Superman and Batman together. But here's the thing, that little childlike faith in my heart and the faith in my dad's heart, and my mother wasn't a Christian at the time, but she knew without a miracle she was going to lose her son. And the only child that she could ever have. I was turned wrong in the womb, and I think the umbilical cord was somehow messing up, and it was just, they expected me to be stillborn, or they could take me by cesarean section. And if they did, it might jeopardize her because of some condition that I don't fully understand. But my dad went in the bathroom of a hospital in Middlesbrough, Kentucky, and he got down on his knees, and he said, Lord, because they asked him, what do you want us to do? And he got down, and he said, I don't want to lose my wife, and I don't want to lose this child either. So he got down on his knees before the Lord, and he said, Lord, he said, if you will let my wife be okay and let this child live, Lord, I'll give this child to you. This child will be your child. Amen. So he prayed, and God listened. And you can see God listen, because I'm still here today. And I believe God hears the prayers of people that are sincere. And it doesn't take a mountain of faith to move a mountain. That's an important thing to understand today. It doesn't take, say that maybe, it doesn't take a mountain of faith to move a mountain. Talking about faith here, everybody in here, you couldn't be saved without faith, because it's by grace you are saved through faith. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. But we are created unto good works. It doesn't leave us off the hook to live any old way. But he said, salvation itself, nothing you can do can earn you a place in heaven. Only the blood of Jesus can be applied to your life. The grace of God has to cover you. Well, Dad had that grace on him. He had accepted Jesus. He was on wobbly legs. You know, we're kind of talking about people on wobbly spiritual legs. We're not talking about paragons of faith. When my son prayed for me, he's on wobbly legs. But God heard his prayer. And I think one of the things the devil wants to do is disqualify you from praying because you don't feel like you have enough faith, or you don't feel like you're faithful enough. One time my son, before he got deliverance come to him, amen, one of the things that he came to me with, he said, Dad, he said, the only way I can get peace sometime is call upon the name of Jesus, but I don't know if he'll listen to me. I said, son, don't you ever quit calling upon the name of Jesus. Don't you ever let the devil or anybody else talk you out of believing that God loves you enough. Now, I'm not saying that he can stand where a dedicated believer could stand, but I want you to know God loves the lost today. He can't bless them. He's obligated to judge them if they don't repent. But he loves them. God commends his love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's not license to sin. But God loves the world. Everybody in it. And he's not willing exactly that any should perish. We all know somebody that in our heart. We don't have that kind of capacity to love. Without God's love going through us, we don't have that kind of capacity to love. But God has it. And that's the reason you're saved. And that's the reason I'm saved today. I want to submit this to you. It took just as much of Christ's blood to save you as it did the worst possible sinner that could have ever lived on this planet. It took the same amount of sacrifice to save you and to save me today. No one is good enough to go to heaven. Amen. And never will be. But God is faithful. And God was faithful to my dad. Somebody want to know, well, Brother Venable, did you live? Yes, I did. I'll answer your question. I can see somebody saying, don't hold us there. Finish the story. Did you make it? Yes. Did your mama make it? Yes. Praise God. We both made it. But then at 8 going on 9, I was diagnosed with anemia. Because I was so tired and pale and wore out. And then they looked further, and through the blood test, they found the white blood cell thing going on, and they found cancer of the blood. And you know, my dad was never a paragon of faith. His legs were always a little wobbly. He went through a nervous breakdown when I was 12 years old, and I sat on the back porch with my hand in my daddy's hand, praying for my daddy. You know the wonderful thing, if you invest in someone prayerfully, a day will come when they're going to pay it forward. Hallelujah. They're going to pray for you. Can you say amen? It's an incredible thing, amen, that as long as for the years I prayed for my son, and then to have my son praying for me, oh, hallelujah. Praise God. And you guys prayed for me. Did you know before I had that stroke, we had been teaching on prayer? Amen. For about 6 months solid, every Sunday night, one thing, one subject, prayer, prayer, answered prayer, intercessory prayer, warfare praying, praise God. Hallelujah. So when y'all prayed, God listened because you believed when you prayed. Hallelujah. It was a fervent prayer and God listened. This is from the funny papers. Amen. The part I read most of the time. The only reason to get the paper anymore with internet is the funnies. who are these people? I forgot their family circle. Little boy is saying his prayers. His mother's sitting there beside him. He said, I'm done. Do you need me to put in a good word for you about anything? Amen. Well, the answer is yes, I do need you to put in a good word for me about a whole lot of things. Can you say amen? And it's so wonderful and powerful. Praise God. My dad, he doesn't have these paragon of faith. When he went through a nervous breakdown, and at 12 years old, he was filled with fear and doubt and wondering about God and confused. And I remember holding my dad's hand and praying for him. Amen. I'm investing in prayer in my dad at 12 years old. Amen. You know how I got to 12 years old from 8 going on 9 dying? Because my dad invested prayer in me. Praise God. He took me to a church here in Tampa called the Tampa Revival Center. It was running 7 days a week. The Hodges family attended that church, and I later became their pastor. This little boy dying of cancer became a pastor to some of those people that were the elders and the intercessors in that church. Sister Hodges remembered the morning that they met for prayer, and they had a balcony in that building. And church 7 days a week, can you imagine? 7 days a week having church? What are people thinking? What's wrong with them? Why would you want to be in church? Because God is showing up 7 days a week. God is doing mighty things. Amen. Listen, if I wasn't just reading the scripture here and testifying, if a pillar of fire appeared between me and you right now, right here, God just stood between us in a pillar of fire like he did when he gave the law to Moses. A mighty pillar of fire, and a voice spoke and sounded a little like Charleston Heston. It said, I am the Lord thy God, and I've come to speak to you. No one would be looking at your watch. And I'm not chiding you for looking at it. I just looked at mine. Amen. There's one on the wall to remind me. They're threatening to put a bigger one on the wall. Amen. Just to make sure I know that the time is passing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Would anybody be thinking about Golden Corral with the pillar of fire and God speaking? Of course not. We would be mesmerized. We would be, man, forget everything. Everything that I'm going to change the agenda this Sunday. Remember when God appeared on the burning bush, when God showed up somewhere? Can you say, man, what did Moses do? Oh, there's God on the burning bush. My Lord, there's a fire that looked out of heaven. Must be God on that bush. My goodness. Hey, God, how you doing? Walk on about his business. I got camels to feed and sheep to shear. Can you say, man? No, he wasn't shearing no sheep and feeding no camels. God is on that bush. He said, I'm going to turn aside and see this thing. Amen. He got a little bit closer and God said, if you're going to see this thing, you're going to have to do something to show reverence. You take off them shoes right now. You are on holy ground. Can you say amen? Well, we were on holy ground at that church. It wasn't just an evangelist or some great faith person with a gift. This was God showing up because people were hungry for the living God. And I'm glad my dad was going to that church when I needed a miracle. Because he was sitting there and he said, Gene, to my mother. He's the believer, but I told you he's on wobbly legs. He said, Gene, take him down there. They were praying for the sick. Oh, by the way, while Sister Hodges was there that morning, when they were praying in intercession, they prayed every morning and God showed up every night. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, they said when they were praying, they said suddenly they heard a choir singing beautiful praises to God. And they thought some choir that was going to sing that night had come into practice, and they were so lost in prayer they didn't hear them come in. But when they looked over the rampart of the balcony, there was nobody in the building. But that place was resonating in praise. Hallelujah. And I thought, my Lord have mercy. Glory to God. Does God do any of these things? Does he want to show up? Does he want to show out? Who has a God anyway? Praise God, like our God. A God so nigh us in all that we call upon him for. He shows up when we pray. He shows out in the answer. He gets glory and we get the help that we need. Can you say amen? We got it so cut and dry. Can you say, man, we're so good at doing church. That's why I said I'm not too crazy about religion. I understand the faith and I embrace the faith. But what man does to it, amen, is turn it into a religious, ritualistic routine. Can you say, man, it's a rut if you want to know the truth. Somebody said a rut is a grave with both ends kicked out. That's all it is. Amen, it's something dead. Why seek you the living among the dead? Can you say amen? He told the church in Revelation, you have a name that lives. It represents life, but you're dead. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's such defeat, depression, distraction among covenant people with the God who has revealed his purposes through his promises. Whatever God purposes, he promises. And the promises of God are yea and amen to them that believe them. Amen? They're yea and amen. Yes, and so be it. If God purposes to bless me, he purposes to heal me. He purposes to deliver me. And he purposes to take care of me and provide for me. If that's his purpose and he's revealed it through a promise and I discover the promise, then I want my soul to say, yay, amen. There are preachers that will spend hours explaining away the fact that there's a spiritual vacuum for the presence and power of God. I'm not talking about a liver shiver on Sunday morning. I'm talking about a cancer-free report because God moved. I'm talking about God raising me up in 3 days from a stroke that the nurse in the elevator, she told me at the hospital, she said, young man, so she's an older lady, but she's been in nursing a long time. And she said, young man, do you know that you are a miracle? And I said, yes, ma'am. You know what the doctor called my healing from cancer back when I was 8 going on 9 when God healed me? He called it spontaneous remission. Because it was real difficult for him to acknowledge that God is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him out. Amen. It was difficult for him to acknowledge the supernatural. So he has to, a man of science is looking for a scientific answer. And the scientific answer is not even good science. You know why? Because without chemotherapy, because we had no insurance. The Old County Hospital, good place for a Stephen King movie. The Old County Hospital, I'm talking about the Old County Hospital. Is it 34th Street? Where is it? Somewhere out there. 30th Street. Go down there. There's an old building. It still looks old and a good place for a Stephen King movie. Amen? I went to visit someone there that was in the mental part of it. But that's where I was headed. Said, you have no insurance. Take him home. Take care of him. When he gets in the last stages of the leukemia, in other words, when he's dying, we can then get him admitted without money to that hospital. In other words, they will help him die more comfortably. That is the only thing the doctor could tell them. So they grab me and take me to a church. Oh, a church where God was showing up. Did you know why they were called? What was their denomination? Well, see, that's the issue right there. They started, my pastor, Brother Joe Woodward, he was within a denomination, a Pentecostal denomination, very prestigious Pentecostal denomination. He had an evangelist come in, and God began to move in the congregation, not just through the evangelist's gifts, but the people's hunger, and God began to save people. God began to deliver people. God began to heal people, and people began to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They were hungry for God. So they began to have 7-day-a-week service. The revival was supposed to go 7 days, and it ended up going on. 7 more days. People still getting saved. People still getting healed. And some of the people from the other churches within the Pentecostal denomination he was affiliated, they were going over there to church. And the pastors of those churches, instead of coming and supporting the revival, you know what revival is now? A guest speaker for 3 days. We're going to have a revival. We're going to have a 3-day meeting, a 4-day meeting. Amen? That's going to be, they were losing some funds too, I must say. And that is disconcerting if that's all you're looking for. But so they got the presbyters or whoever, the overseers, they said, we got to shut this revival down. Shut down a revival. Isn't it amazing when a church wants to shut down revival? When preachers want to shut down a revival? You think preachers want a revival to come? All preachers should want a revival. If it don't happen here, let it happen somewhere and we'll all go there. If it's real, authentic and genuine. I don't want the phony. We've seen the phony. What happened to me was real. I'm a living, breathing testimony that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and he's going to be forever. Can you say amen? And I'm too old and I've been through too many battles to get excited about stuff until it proves itself. Such a spiritual vacuum, people will run after just about anything because there's a vacuum for the real power and presence of God. Hallelujah. But I'm glad that my son's wobbly knees, amen, but he prayed and he, oh my son, I'm so glad God listened. I'm so glad that you folks prayed. My wife's first thing was to call people to pray who would call others to pray, who would call others to pray. And in 3 days with, it wasn't a mini stroke. I'm on my face in the floor and I can't move. This side of my face is drooped and paralyzed. This arm can't even move. My legs won't work. I have a knot on my head. When you're in that condition, you don't need religion. You don't need to recite your catechism or your creed. You need God, friend. Can you say amen? You need someone to help you. Hallelujah. Someone that can come through. I worked with a guy. His wife got a rare blood disorder. They couldn't diagnose it exactly, but they knew one thing. It's killing her, and there's nothing we can do about it. And they prepared him for her demise, and she would drift in and out of a coma situation. And they said that she will keep drifting in and out until she drifts in and stays in until she passes away. That was their prognosis. Death and nothing else. He said he had family, he had friends, and you've had all these people to say, you hear the news people say it. Yeah, well, we have you in our prayers. I thought, what prayers? To who? Come on, how phony. We got to get real with God. You can't play that with God. You can't be fronting with God. Can you say amen? Amen. I just don't think that news lady is, I don't know. Maybe she's more than I think she is, but most of those news people are not all that spiritual. And I just, it's almost, you get on Oprah, she has somebody on there talking about the power of prayers. They don't know who you pray to. Pray to yourself. Pray. It's prayer itself, not God, not Christ. So, and by the way, Oprah has a profound influence on people. They listen to her for guidance as if she's some kind of guru. Amen. I'm going to tell you, she don't. Anyway, you just look at your Bible and look and listen and learn. Can you say amen? Listen to me carefully. Real prayer brings a real God into view and focus. Brings real answers. This guy I worked with, I appreciated his faith. He said, Pastor Venable, I wasn't ready to give up my wife. I didn't believe it was God's will for her to go home. He said, we're just in our mid-40s. We got grandchildren, and I just, and besides, I had some promises. I had some what? Promises. Is there any promises in here to address anything that you may be going through? You know what we're doing? We're saying God is sovereign. You can't really depend on him. You can just put yourself in his sovereignty and go with the flow. Let me tell you something about God's. In his sovereignty, he has decided to make some commitments to us and to reveal his purpose for us, whereby are given to us from him exceeding great and precious promises. That by these we might partake of the divine nature. These are the top shelf ones. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, we draw near to God and we begin to pull away from the world and its system. But that's not all the promises. He continues to say, call upon me in the time of trouble. I love the way God talks because, see, preachers, We've got to make excuses for God because we certainly aren't seeing these things. So we've got to make excuses. We spend an hour excusing God, trying to get God off the hook. A God that says, prove me. A God who says, put me to the test. A God who says he watches over his word to perform it. A God who says, hath he not said it? And will he not do it? Can you say, man, what is the point of saying it? If you're not going to do it, if I can't count on him, if I can't stand on his word, where can faith ever exist in that vacuum of doubt and fear and unbelief? Wow. Hath he not said it? Let all the world stand in awe of him, the psalmist says. Let all the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, he commanded, and it was done. He spoke, and it stood fast. Can you say, man? Where did this universe come from? The theory is the Big Bang. There wasn't nothing going on, but something happened. Amen. I mean, you know, I read a poem one time. I wish I still had it. It was the monkeys responding to us saying that we came from them. Went down this whole list of what monkeys don't do to one another and what we do to one another. And said, you'll never see a monk do. And, you know, it went down, it's a big, long list of something, you know, monkeys don't do to one another. I like the ending. Got right down, only part I remember, right down to the ending. It said, man came from somewhere, the ornery cuss. But one thing's for sure, he didn't come from us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We live in an incredible world where believers don't even believe anymore. You know where most Christian young people, if they go into higher education, where they lose their faith or they doubt their faith? College. College. But it starts young in the educational system. We don't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We don't believe in creation. It's not cool to believe in God. Till you're in real trouble and nobody else can help you. Then suddenly believing in God is pretty neat. I couldn't live in this fallen world, in this faulty body, with any kind of hope at all or peace if I didn't believe. Amen. Hath he not said it? He said, you know, the Bible said of God's own word, how authoritative it is. He said, heaven will pass away. The heavens as we know it is going to be changed one day. Stars are going to be rolled up like a scroll. The planets and stars melting as fervent heat, Peter said. What manner of men ought we to be knowing this is coming? Everything's going to change. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love it, Brother Taylor. I love walking every day of my life as a living, breathing testimony that God is a prayer. I wasn't supposed to be born, but I was. I wasn't supposed to live past my 9th birthday, but I did. I wasn't supposed to recover from a stroke, but here I am. Can you say, man, I wasn't supposed to use this arm, but I'm using it. This mouth wasn't supposed to work, but it does. Can you say, man? And the recovery began in the hospital on the first day. Brother Taylor, when you came to visit me and Mike and whoever else was in that entourage, hallelujah, your prayer posse, Brother Willie, praise God. Amen. Yeah, we got a prayer posse around here. Glory. We don't pack 9mm, we pack swords. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Amen. They had been praying for me and they came to see how I was doing. And they'd never seen me without my preacher suit very much. And they certainly never seen me with nothing but that, what I have, sweatpants and that. At least they let me keep my sweatpants. But see, Pastor laying on his back, my son, never seen me a day weak. I've been a strong man. God raised me up strong, amen, all my life. And for my son to see me, listen, I jumped out of the shower. I went to get some orange juice because I felt like I was going to fall in the shower. But it never occurred. I was confused that I was having a stroke. Not me. Not me. I take my vitamins, say my prayers. Can you say, man, ain't going to happen to me, but it did happen to me. So I run in the kitchen to get orange juice to pick me up. And I drank my orange juice, put it back in the fridge, turned around. By the way, I no one's up at my house at 6 a.m. No one, not even the dog, is up at 6 a.m. So I ran from the bathroom getting into the shower. How many here, when you take a shower, you do it naked? You're not that sanctified, right? You're just not so sanctified. No, I always wear swimming trunks and they come down to here. Nobody's going to see you but the Lord, and He understands. I never did understand nudist colonies. I just don't get it. But anyway, moving right along. I'm older now, and maybe, you know, things do change. But anyway, God is good. God is good. Yes, I know. I've done started imagery that I should have never even started. Some things you just don't want to see. Anyway, moving right along. When you're laying naked on the floor, you're not on those strong legs of mountaintop faith. All you can do is call on Jesus. You can't stand and recite, you know, some long scripture, and you can't tell God how much faith you've got, but you can let him know that your trust is in him. And I have discovered that's all he needs to know. Because the first thing that happened wasn't healing and deliverance. The first thing that happened was peace began to flow into my soul. Brother Taylor, when you came with the prayer posse, amen, to the hospital, we got to talking with one another, and we got to thanking God for sustaining me and thanking him for being with me. Hallelujah. And Brother Taylor mentioned some scripture. Psalm 46, yeah, but somewhere down in there is a Psalm 46. God is our refuge. God is our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Glory to God. Amen. But on down in there, it says there is a stream. And I started talking back. Praise God. Everybody wondering how I really am, you know. And I remember that came to my mind. There is a river, the streams thereof make glad the city of God. And I begin to be an expository. You know, you just don't even talk to me unless you want to hear a sermon. Don't ever ask a preacher a question unless you're prepared for a sermon. Sit down, get ready for us to receive an offering, and we'll have a discussion. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And as I begin to recite that and tell the background of that psalm, when they were surrounded by an enemy that thought they were dying of thirst inside, there was a spring outside the city that they didn't know about, an underground spring, and they had piped, amen, that water into the city, and they were sitting in there drinking from that cool spring water while their enemies were outside thinking that they were drying up and about ready to open the gates and give in and give up. And there is a river. The streams thereof make glad the city of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, by the time I got through talking about that, Brother Taylor said, he's all right, he's preaching. Hallelujah. He's all right because he's preaching. Amen. Nurse brought me a mirror 30 minutes after getting to the hospital. She put it up to my face. It was one of them big magnifying, you know, the ones you don't want to look at. I saw a mirror the other day somewhere and made me and my wife both look skinny. I said, honey, we got to buy that thing. We don't need to go on no diet. Buy that mirror and don't look in nothing else. Do you know there's mirrors do different? I don't mean there's funny ones at the, you know, fair or wherever. I'm talking about there are mirrors that actually make you look slender. They are. You haven't seen one? I'm going to get you one. You're going to love it. You can eat that cinnamon roll. Amen. Praise God. Get double cheese on that burger. Look in that mirror. She took that thing, put it up in my face. She said, does your face look droopy anywhere? Man, I just had a stroke. I hadn't had my morning coffee. I said, no more than usual. She got to laughing. My wife got to laughing. And God's peace flowed over me. And I told my wife, I said, honey, if it's time for me to go home, I don't want to be a burden to you. It's okay. I could have went into the presence of the Lord. I mean, there is a peace that comes. Religion can't give you that. You need a relationship with God. Come on. It has to come from God. Nobody can do that. Even a preacher can't impart it, but God does. And he did for me. So I know what it's going to be like, Brother Taylor, when it really comes time to go home. The grim reaper is not going to be grim. Someone said, and I believe it's a good song, and it's a faith-filled song, you won't have to cross Jordan alone, honey. Jordan's chilly waters and the chill of death. And no, it's not like that. It's rolling out of this body into the presence of God, and there's a peace that passes all understanding. Praise God. It's nothing like it in this world. That's why I said I'm not a real religious man. I'm not keen on religion because it can't give you what a relationship with Jesus does. Can you say amen? So if you're into religion, you'll be satisfied with the practice of your religion. But the day will come when you will be in desperate need of a relationship with God. And I pray that you have it, because if you do, you'll have everything you need. Hallelujah, in Him. Glory be to God. He's a great God. He's a good God. And He raised me up in 3 days with no symptoms. I went to visit a man in a nursing home, 50 years old. I was visiting your brother. You remember the young man? Young man, 50 year old, and he had a young face. He looked 40 years old. Laying in the bed for a while next to your brother, next to William. Prayed for William. I looked over at him, and my wife and I began to share with him. And I said, I thought he was recovering from some surgical thing, going through rehabilitation. So I had no idea that he had a stroke and was paralyzed completely on his left side. And so I said, what brought you here? How long are you going to be in here? And he said, I had a stroke and I'm paralyzed on this side. I said, how long have you been here? He said, I've been here for 3 years. I said, how old are you? He said, I'm 50. I just turned 50. That means in his late 40s, that happened. And there he lays to this very day. And I'm going to tell you something. It was so good for me to be able to tell him that there is a God who hears and answers prayer, and with whom nothing is impossible. Amen. To tell him, and to tell him what the Lord did recently for me. That we don't have to go back 2,100 years to try to find the God of miracles. He exists today. He works today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And thank God He's increased what the devil meant for evil. God meant it for good. My testimony had to go back to when I was a child, way back, just after the Civil War. That's a joke, son. You'll get it after a while when you get home. Amen. We used to live next door to Wilma and Fred. You know, I grew up at, anyway, that's a long time ago. I'm glad I don't have to go back. You'll get that one, too. Okay. I'm glad I don't have to go back. You know what I look at on Sunday morning? Sad, dejected, discouraged people. We prayed. We haven't seen anything. We believe, but nothing has happened. Choir sings. Choir comes out, sings the high praises of God. The choir recedes. It proceeds and it recedes. Choir members, after they sing, look like they've been baptized in vinegar. Excited about singing. No excitement in the Lord. Preacher preaches a glorious message. Everybody says amen to what he says. But it's not yea and amen to the promises of God. Because if we started receiving the promises of God, Lord help us. If he is a promise keeping God. But we just don't teach it. We'd rather have a dead religion, go through the motions. But if you ever get down on your face naked in the floor and you don't know if you're going to make it to the hospital or going to leave this world, you better have more than your card from your denomination. You need Jesus. And you need to know something about His faithfulness. Can you say, man, that was my whole message today and we didn't get to it and it's time to quit. But I believe something is coming through here today. God's faithfulness. I'm here today in every respect because of God's faithfulness. I can't write a book on successful marriage. But I can recommend you a book. I have a successful marriage, 50 years and counting. May will be 51 years. That's a successful marriage. Well, Brother Venable, you and Sister Venable are so compatible. Oh, honey. Honey, you've been reading fairy tales. This is not... I met the perfect woman. She met the perfect man. And it's because the perfect woman and the perfect man got together. That's why that we made it. No, there's one reason why we have made it. And that's because of the faithfulness of God. When the trouble come, we called on the Lord. Hallelujah. And trouble does come, and it still comes. Oh, what is it? Are you and brother and sister? You know, my son can honestly say, I've never seen my mom and daddy have a fight. That's because we never let him see us like that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We had words. We had things that could have divided us and could have destroyed us. But God is faithful. Can you say amen? I can recommend to you a book on the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. And if God is faithful and you call upon the Lord and both of you put your trust in Him, He's a fix-it man. Hallelujah. He's a fix-it man. You heard that song yet? God, my God is a fix-it man. He's healing hearts all over the land. Healing marriages. Nothing is impossible with God. And hold on to your seats. Nothing is impossible to him that believeth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So this guy's work. And we'll read the scripture in closing. Lord, I hate to read that scripture. I feel like preaching on it. Hallelujah. Listen to me. I've had a good time here today. Because I'm talking about the faithfulness of God. If you want to talk about the devil and the netherworld, you won't hear a whole lot here. You won't have a wealth of information about demons here. Amen? No, you won't know all about hell and his minions. They exist, and I mention them from time to time. We don't dwell on him. We just don't dwell on him. We don't dwell on him. Because we need faith in this place. I got to tell. A man whose dad was a male witch, I guess you would call him. He was in Africa, warlock, whatever. Anyway, he held everyone under sway. Witch doctor. He was grooming his son to be a witch doctor. An evangelist from the United States, I believe it was T.L. Lowry, one of those evangelists that goes to the nations. He went to Africa to preach. And he said, he was preaching and he said his dad and others in those, you know, dealing with that netherworld were calling demon powers to come and disrupt the meeting. And he said one night, as he sat in that tent meeting, he saw demon power. This young man being groomed, he was acquainted with that spiritual world. And he said he saw, looking like a demon power, encircling that tent, wanting to come in and disrupt. But they couldn't cross over the threshold. And he began to think, there's another power. The devil isn't the only one with the power. There's power somewhere else from someone else. And he stopped long enough to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said he was already beginning to be manipulated and used by evil spirits. But he went down that night because he heard about this pure Savior, this Holy One, this one that has all power in heaven and earth. And he didn't go for the power. He went to repent and he went to be forgiven. His eyes were open to the gospel and that took power. Can you say amen? And he got saved and he said, you know, when I got saved and repented of my sin and rejected the darkness and was turned from darkness to light, he said, all those powers I had just left me. Praise God. God. He said he witnessed to his father, and a few weeks later his daddy got saved and renounced the powers of darkness. Can you say amen? Let me tell you something about the gospel of Jesus Christ. This gospel did not come in word only. We're more impressed with the PhD than the power of God these days. Amen. A man's education is what will put him in a big church. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost like we've never needed the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So he came to America to share his testimony. Just a few years back, everybody got into Pigs in the Parlor. We're trying to find demons everywhere. We got enamored with the devils and his minions rather than Christ and his angels. And there was more fear than faith. You find people like that, mark them. They have no joy. Because a demon is right here behind the cross, ready to jump out on them. They have no peace because demons torment them. He said what astounded him, because of his background in the occult. Now he's delivered and set free. He has the joy of Jesus, the peace of God. He's telling everybody about the Lord and what Christ can do. He said, after the service, Christians would come up to him with a serious look on their face, filled with fear. Imagine that since the devil, you got deep into the devil's work and the demons and the demonic world, that now that you're delivered, that they chase you and they hound you. And all the time they're trying to get at you because you've been there and you know all of it. And they're probably hovering, you know, when you testify, and hovering when you preach. And how do you deal with that? I love his great theological answer. Are you ready for this? You taking notes? He looked at him with the joy of Jesus and he said, "Flies don't land on a hot stove." Come on, church. Flies don't land on a hot stove. You get full of God. You get full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You get some understanding of the power and authority that is vested in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And you won't run from devils. Devils will run from you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil and he'll run from you. Wow. So 1 Peter 4 verse 19 in closing says, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit their keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator." It's that attribute of God. I came out from a funeral. I was going through nervous exhaustion. I've been through a lot of valleys, deep, dark valleys. Wouldn't have made it through if it was just my faith alone. But it was his faithfulness. Faith in your faith will fail you if your faith wavers. But faith in his faithfulness will not fail you because he never wavers. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. Can you say, man? God is not like us. Hallelujah. He never vacillates. Hath he not said it? Shall he not do it? Amen. Let me tie this up with this gentleman's testimony. He said family members came in. He said they were just so filled with doubt and fear. They were all religious people. They all went to church, clapped their hands, sang the songs. But when the chips were down, there was no real faith that God would. Not that he couldn't do, but that he wouldn't do. Faith to believe God can do anything, that's easy faith. But faith that he will do it in response to your prayer and mine, That's a whole different thing. I've had many battles, and I still know that there are battles to come in that very area. But God is faithful. He said, you know, he said, I asked the nurse, can I be alone with my wife? She said, certainly, sir. He said, I need to be alone with my wife. He said, I told her cousins and uncles and aunts and all the in-betweens, I need to be alone with my wife. Amen. He said, when all of those people filled with such doubt, everything you say about God, they countered it with some negative. You know what Jesus did one time? Jairus' daughter, she's deader than a doornail. She's graveyard dead. Can you say, man? And he said, she's only asleep. Death is a final thing the way man uses it, but God says, I got power over that. Jesus said, she's just sleeping. Anybody asleep can be woke up. He said, the way I look at death is I can wake up a dead man just like I can wake you up in the morning. When the alarm clock goes off, it can wake you up. I can wake up a dead man. Amen. Listen, they laughed him to scorn. They laughed him to scorn. They laughed him to scorn. And you know what he did? He said, tell him to get out of here. Greatest miracles I've ever seen has not been for the church full of people. It's when everybody's headed for the restaurant, but the faithful. I'm serious. I've saw God work miracles, but it was never with a church full of people. Because everybody's not on the same page. So everybody that don't care whether you get healed or not, or get helped or not. Everybody said, man, I got to get to that restaurant. Baptists are going to get there before me, and I'm going to wait at the end of the line. They're going to get all the good cuts. Come on, preacher. But when we got down to the faithful few, and there was faith, and there was agreement, God moved. Hallelujah. This man was sharing with me. He said, everybody got out of the room. Everybody got out of the room but me and God and her. He said, I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I believe you. If no one else believes you in this hospital, I believe you. If the doctors don't believe you, I believe you. If all these church-going people don't believe you, I believe you. Amen. This is my wife. She's your child. I'm your son and she's your daughter. And I believe you for a miracle today. Hallelujah. God is faithful. No matter what you're going through. So he said, I was right in the middle of praying and my wife coughed. And my wife sat up and said, honey, could you get me a drink of water? And he went and got her a drink of water, and she drank the whole glass, laid back down and said, I'm so tired. But instead of going back into a coma, she went into a sweet, peaceful sleep and woke up 2 hours later, 2 days later, without them doing anything but IVs to hydrate her and oxygen. You know, they took off the oxygen. She's breathing. Those fingernails are nice. Look, toenails are perfect. Amen. Without polish. Glory to God. Amen. 48 hours from being ready to die, she goes home with her husband. Amen. And the way he put it in the break room at Superbrand Products, that's where I was bivocational for 12 years. You know how he put it? He said, Brother Venable, where everybody could hear it. He said, and because everybody was listening by then. Amen. Hallelujah. They wanted to see how this thing come out. He said, Brother Venable, God showed up and then God showed out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know what I believe that God wants to do in every church in America where the name of Jesus is being exalted? I believe God wants to show up. And I believe that God wants to show out. Can you say amen? Who has a God? every other god that man had fashioned. You know what the Lord God said? Said they got eyes, but they can't see. They got ears, but they can't hear. They got hands, but they can't help. But the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears, amen, are open to their cry. Hallelujah. And He said, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Glory be to God. God is right-handed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sometimes my legs wobble because of the circumstances, what I may be going through at the moment. It's easy here under the anointing for faith to rise up. But I got to go out that door into that world, into my circumstances of life. But when I go out that door, He said, I'm going with you. Every step of the way. Amen. So I don't have to go back to Bible days. I don't have to go back to when I was a child. I can go back a year and a half ago, September the 11th, 2012. Amen. Amen. I can go back to then and say, He came through again. Hallelujah. He did it again. And I want to tell everybody who will listen, it is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon, help, and heal you. It is no secret what God can do. God healed me instantly of leukemia. They called it spontaneous. I start to say spontaneous combustion. Spontaneous remission. Well, He burned it up. Whatever He did with it, He did with it. But the doctor said it's gone. And it's been gone for 67 years. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 God is so good today. Psalm 37:3 in closing said, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And one translation of this, because it corresponds to 1 Peter, the Hebrew word for fed literally meant not for the physical man, it meant to feed on His truth. To feed on His truth. The truth about Him is what we're to feed on, to feast on. Can you say, man, my soul is being fed on His truth. Can you say, man? Glory to God. Soul food is not just collard greens with a little bit of vinegar to season them with some ham hocks in there to kind of set them off, and cornbread. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, and fried chicken, green onions, and iced tea. I can tell it's time to close the service. Even the preacher's starting to talk about eating. Hallelujah. And as long as we feast on the Word of God and respond to it, you know what the Bible said? When we get it right with God, go and eat the fat and drink the sweet, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah! 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 Glory to God. How many people in this room want to be fed the truth about God, the truth in the Word of God? It's something that can set you free and keep you free. If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Praise God. I want to feast on it. I told my wife the other day, I said, if I've never called her because I wasn't that late coming home. But if I'm on my way home or on my way somewhere and I have the time and something's good coming over the radio and it's feeding my soul, I will pull into a parking lot. I will put it in park. I will sit there and feast on that. Because, honey, this stuff gets inside of you. And then when the trouble comes, it's already there. It's already there. It's there. Hallelujah. You just know that you know that you know. Praise God. Hallelujah. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. Jeremiah 33:3. Amen. Instead of 911, we dial 333. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Jeremiah 33:3. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Thou shalt glorify me. Amen. Call upon me, and I'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. God wants to move. God will move. But we need to feast on His Word. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. How many here struggle with faithfulness in your own life? Being faithful to Him. I'm not looking. I just want you to respond in your heart. How many want to learn more about God's faithfulness to you so that you can be faithful to Him? Amen. God's commitment to you right now, right where you are. I didn't say He could approve of everything. I'm saying He's willing to help you with it. He's not going to run from you. He's going to run to you if you'll just call on Him. And you just won't give up on Him. And you just won't let the world about you, amen, defeat you anymore. God loves you so much today. My wife and I are together, not because we can write on the, you know, a 13-chapter book on how to have a happy marriage. One couple said, church-going couple, they said, we have an end-time marriage. Pastor said, what? Said, we have an end-time marriage. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, wars and rumors of wars. There's conflict in the marriage relationship. But there's victory in Jesus. God is faithful. Can you say amen? There is a victory in Jesus Christ. There's conflict in ministry. Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. And I've got so fatigued sometime and just, you know, all that goes with it that I just want to rest. I'd look at some picture of a, you know, a little bitty house. It don't need to be a mansion. It's a little house out. And you know what Jeremiah said? Jeremiah got so fatigued in preaching and having it come back at him, seeing people turn back instead of go forward. You know what he said? He said, I wish I had a house so far into the wilderness that you could not find it with GPS. I don't guess they had GPS back then, but amen. That you couldn't find it, even if you were looking for it. The only way you might stumble on it, it's so far back in the sticks, is if you got lost and happened to come across it. Because I don't want nobody knocking on my door. Why didn't he? Because he got a slap in the face and put in a dungeon for bringing God's truth to the people that should have embraced it. Instead of repentance, they got mad at him for telling them the truth. Can you say amen? Sometimes people smile at me in a service. Other times, you should see what I see from this vantage point. Amen? See how long you could stand. You know what he told Jeremiah? He said, now I'm going to send you with my word. He said, don't you look at their faces. He smiled. I got where's my camera? I'm going to put a poster of you smiling up on the wall. He smiles at other times. But amen. Don't look at their faces. When I bring God's message, I can't look at your face to see if you approve. I can't wait to see if you're going to give in the offering. I can't wait to see if you're going to come back to church. That's not my call. That's your decision. I'm charged with one thing. Feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God. And I want to feed you with the truth about God. Hallelujah. And what He's willing to do if you're willing. Amen. To take a step forward in your faith. And grab hold of His faithfulness today. Glory be to God. And feast on His truth. Glory to the Lord. Feast on His truth. Amen. Brother Taylor, would you come stand with me? Brother Taylor is our associate minister. And I pace myself now because we do have the radio ministry. We have the web ministry that goes to the nations. We're getting a lot of hits from the United Kingdom. People are coming from other nations, but particularly England has been active. London lately, but not just London, but Norway and the Antarctic and Asia, China and South Korea, and also the Arab countries, the Arab Emirates. We're having people come from Egypt, from Alexandria, Egypt, to our website. We're having people come from states and cities within America that we've never heard of. Hallelujah, but they're coming. They come to the website. God is sending people because the hour is late. We're not trying to build our kingdom. We're not trying to solicit. Somebody told me, and there's nothing wrong with this. I'm not criticizing. Someone told me, with all these people coming to your website, why don't you put PayPal on there and they can contribute, or, you know, put a price on your messages. There's 1,300 messages on there from 40 years of ministry. But God opened that door. He gave us a media minister, amen, that hasn't billed us yet. And as long as he don't bill us, we're going to stay on the web, praise God. Friend of mine got a Christian friend of his and asked him, how much would you charge me to get us a website up and running and maintain it? He said, well, for starters, it'd be $5,000. And I thought, oh, I hope Doug don't find out. Hallelujah. He loves the Lord. He loves the Lord. He wants to see those souls reach for Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And God has opened doors and give us favor and open doors of opportunity for us to minister without any charge to us. A little church like this going to nations. How did that happen? Because we're not in it to build this church building bigger. We're not in it to get more money for the preacher, more to seem successful as some ambition for me. God loves your soul. God cares about where you spend eternity. You're not a dollar sign to him. You are so precious, he gave his son to save you. Amen. And seal you unto the day of redemption. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Brother Taylor brings the word of God in the evening service. Father, I praise you today for this little church. I praise you for these, your sheep. I thank you, Lord, for the sheeple in here. Hallelujah. Praise God, the sheep of your pasture and the people of your hand. And I praise you for the blessings that are coming. Now, I can't see this seed once it's sown, but somebody here today has received something from the Lord. His word will not return void. It will prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. It will accomplish that he desires. Praise God. Brother Taylor, let's just pray today that God will have his way, that he'll show up and show out in every heart and every life and every home and every family, that we might bear witness that our God is the true and the living God. Father, I pray that you will stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders occur in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, that when we declare the gospel, that the Holy Spirit will touch hearts, will change lives, that souls will be ushered into the kingdom of God, turn from the powers of darkness to light. Hallelujah. Father, I praise you. I honor you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name and for the glory of God. And everyone said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here that needs Christ as your Savior before we close? Very quickly. You need Jesus as your Savior. Jesus as your Savior. Anyone in this room? Anyone in this room? You want God's truth in your life. You want to draw close to him. See, the greatest of all the promises, the exceeding great and precious, is that we might partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, that we draw closer to him as we distance ourselves from the culture. It's oil and water. They will never blend. Can you say amen? Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you, and I will be a father to you. Amen. And you say, amen, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. This is God calling a people from a people to himself for the purpose of safekeeping through sanctification. Can you say, amen, what he calls, who he calls?
And who he cleanses, he uses.
Say that again, who he calls?
He cleanses. And who he cleanses, he uses.
Amen. That's what's happening in this man's life right now. God is so good. God is so good. Will you stand with me today? How many want to get closer to him? Hallelujah. Not get caught up in the culture. His coming is very, very soon. And souls around the world are being swept into God's kingdom as we are here today. We're part of something big that God is doing. All over the world, souls are being swept into the kingdom of God. And I believe we are being prepared for that great marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Oh, that's that same prayer that we, that's why God had us end with that. It's your desire and your sir. Need help with your eyes? You need healing for the eyes as well. Oh. In a great house, there are many vessels, the scripture declares, some to honor and some to dishonor, some of gold and silver, some of wood and of clay. If we would purge ourselves from youthful lust, the Bible said we will become vessels of honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. And I believe God is looking for candidates to fill with his Spirit and to use in these last days. That's it. Come and stand real close to her. The Spirit of the Lord is here right now. Hallelujah. Father, this woman feels the call. She's come for the cleansing. Father, that she might be used of you. A vessel of honor that you can use for whatever purpose you desire in your kingdom, for your honor and for your glory. Raise up Davids and Deborahs in these last days. Hallelujah. 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 That will lead these warriors to battle. Hallelujah. Out of weakness, they were made strong through faith, waxed valiant in fight, and turned armies of aliens to flight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As she consecrates herself before you. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Fill her to the overflow with your anointing, presence, and power. Your peace and your love. In Jesus' name. Father, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Hallelujah. My brother needs his eyes healed. I have declared you, Lord. I've declared you from personal experience, but I went beyond what happened to me. I've declared what the Word of God declares about you. Hallelujah. Lord, we come to you in faith today that healing may come to my brother's eyes, that they might be made perfect and they might be made whole in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Father, let your healing come. Hallelujah. Let your healing flow today. Hallelujah. Show us your glory today. We're not looking for a cloud. We're not looking for a pillar of fire. We're looking, Lord, for your hand to touch your people, to heal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To declare who has a God like our God. So nigh us in all that we call upon him for. Eyes, hear you the word of the Lord. Be made whole today. Let healing flow from the crown of his head to his eyes and through his body in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heal the pupil. Heal the glands. Heal the muscles. Heal the iris and the retina in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. If you leave, leave reverently. Thank you for coming. God is moving. God is moving. God is moving. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for healing me of cancer so I could pay it forward today and pray for someone else. Thank you for raising me up from a stroke so I can pay it forward. The eye doctor looked in my eyes after the stroke and he said there's usually damage in the eyes from a stroke that of your the measure that you had. But the eyes are perfect. The eyes are fine. You don't need new glasses. Everything is just as it was before the stroke occurred. God took care of everything when he took care of me. And he's no respecter of persons. Lord, we love you today. Hosanna, we need you. The Lord our help. It's a plea and a prayer. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for promising. Thank you for promising, Lord. Thank you for your promise to help us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise and honor and glorify you today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God's raising up an army. God's raising up people. Hallelujah. Glory to God that will bear witness to who he is in this last day. Glory to God. I didn't come to debate the gospel. I came to declare it. Let everybody else argue. Amen. I came here to declare what the scripture said. I don't make apologies for God. Brother Taylor, I do not apologize for God. I do not apologize for anything he ever promised in his word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Faith is rising up and God's power and presence is coming down to meet it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's give him praise. If you can leave if you're ready, but let's give him praise today. God is drawing that great company into his kingdom that John saw in the book of Revelation. Out of every kindred, every tongue, and every nation. And the angel said unto John, who are these? And John said, thou knowest. The angel said, you're right. These are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. Dominican Republic.